You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio with Tom Persglove, the Minister for Disabled People, who's just had a tour of the RNIB's new London office, the Grimaldi Building, and also met up with some of the senior staff here. Tom, firstly, how have you sort of found the building and the work of the RNIB having just gone on a tour?
Well, it's amazing, and what a fantastic facility right here in the heart of central London. A beautiful historic building that has been refitted immaculately, providing first-class accessibility, obviously working to that standard that's being developed. But also so encouraging to hear that you're getting many visitors at the moment keen to understand how you've done it and what more they can do to make their buildings live up to the standards that you've set here that are incredibly high. And I think a lot of interesting points that we as government can consider as well moving forward around the accessibility of our public buildings. And of course, the RNIB as an organisation does amazing work. So I'm not surprised that you are leading the way with this example of how buildings can be accessible and should be accessible.
And obviously the building has been made as accessible for blind and partially sighted people and also for people with a wide range of disabilities. Do you think this is something that architects and designers need to sort of maybe think a little bit more about when they're designing the built environment?
So I think it's really interesting to hear how this project has been delivered, exactly as you say, for blind and partially sighted people, but also with a focus on neurodiversity. And that's an area that we as government are interested in particularly. And for example, Sir Robert Buckland is leading a review for us at the moment around autism and employment of autistic people and what more we can do to bolster that. And it has been very interesting specifically to understand that actually when delivering this project, making those changes, making those modifications and getting this right hasn't actually cost a huge amount of money over and above what the project would ordinarily be. And so for me, that is very much a takeaway point to go away and consider about how greater awareness of that adaptation and modification and delivery of a building can be made clearer and more readily available, and how we can aid people's understanding to make sure that their buildings can live up to that standard.
And obviously, meeting staff from the RNIB this morning, is there anything that sort of stood out to you about the work of the RNIB?
I think one of the things that I particularly enjoyed was seeing the shop and understanding the work that goes on with the team and John, who leads that work in the shop, working with people to make sure that where assistive technology can be put in place to aid someone's day-to-day life, he works very closely with them, along with brilliant volunteers to do that. It was lovely to meet Anita as well, who I know is a really valued member of the team here. And so that for me really stood out as an important part of the work that the RNIB does, because ultimately that is improving people's day-to-day lives for the better, making things a little bit easier, working out what can be put in place to try and aid people's life, make things that little bit easier, and actually to just improve people's well-being.
And Tom, you were also here for a meeting with members of the senior leadership team. And I think you were talking about a new disability action plan. Would you be able to sort of give me a little bit about it, what it is, how it might work and how it might help blind and partially sighted people and when it might come into place?
So the idea, the principle behind the disability action plan in a nutshell is what can we get on and deliver over the course of 2024 to improve disabled people's lives for the better and to make our society more inclusive and broaden opportunity. And so we had a 12-week consultation that closed at the start of the month. We're now working through the responses to that. Over 1,000, quite excessively in excess of 1,000 responses were received in response to that, which has been great, and really grateful to everybody who has taken part and let us know their views. What we're now doing is the collation of that, working out what people's views were on the proposed actions that were within that draft action plan. But also, if there's any other areas or suggestions that people have come forward with that we could look to include in that final version of the document when we get there over the course of the coming months. This is, of course, as well, complementary to the National Disability Strategy that I know listeners will be interested in. There is now no longer the block through the court proceedings on moving forward with the National Disability Strategy. So the two should be complementary. You've got the long-term National Disability Strategy and all of the measures and the changes that we want to introduce long-term within it, with that complementary short-term disability action plan, which is a bit of a sprint to the finish to get on and deliver on those areas that people have told us are really important.
And finally, Tom, is there any other sort of bits of information or news that you can possibly share with me and listeners?
I think one of the things that's been really good, actually, to talk about here today as well is about the sort of spirit of partnership when it comes to what more we can do to support more disabled people into work, and really encouraging to hear about some of the very positive employment outcomes that the charity has been working with individuals and the Department for Work and Pensions and the Job Centre teams and everybody else to make happen. I think that it is a really valuable partnership that we have with RNIB, and I want to continue to deepen that and to strengthen that and to learn from you to make sure that, and you know, as government, we're doing an enormous amount at the moment in terms of fresh employment support in place to try and unlock that potential that is out there. We've got the structural reform that we need to introduce to remove that barrier to work that we know exists, that jeopardy that people feel where someone wants to work, perhaps has even identified a role they might like to take on, but the fear factor comes in because they look at it and think, actually, if this doesn't work out, I'll lose my entitlement and have to reapply and be reassessed. We need to do away with that. But there is a lot going on in the short term as we work towards delivering that structural reform that we've said we would deliver in the next Parliament. And I think that RNIB has got an awful lot to be able to contribute as we move that work forward, making it as easy as possible for people to get the help and support that they need, unlocking the employment opportunity and all of the health and wellbeing benefits that brings to people where that's right for them, as well as, of course, having that important safety net that a civilised society should always have.
Oh, that's wonderful, Tom. And thank you, Tom Persclough, Minister for Disabled People, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.